Welcome to the conversation from a man's perspective. This is the place where we dialogue about religion, politics, relationships, dating, and social issues. The purpose of our conversations are to stimulate positive communication, thus creating a more harmonious atmosphere. Under the umbrella of Black Pearl Image Consulting, we also hold self-esteem building workshops with powerful motivational speakers to get you to the next level. Here at Black Pearl Image, we bring out the gem in you because we focus on the inner image first and the rest will follow. So check us out at blackpearlimage.com and book your next intimate conversation with one of our panelists. Also, a self-esteem building workshop with our motivational speakers. See you there.
Hello, everyone. How are you? I am so excited to be back with another conversation from a man's perspective. My name is Levanna Forrest, your host, and our topic today is interracial relationships. We are piggybacking on another conversation we had a couple of weeks ago with two gentlemen, one from Charleston, the other was from Georgetown. And today we have a beautiful couple, Lorna and Timothy Beck, who are from Charleston, South Carolina. They're going to talk to us about the ins and outs of interracial marriage and relationships. So, Tim and Lorna, how are you?
We're great.
Wonderful. Timothy, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Okay. Well, before we get started, tell us a little bit about yourselves and where you're from.
Well, this is Lorna. I'm originally from Jamaica, but as you said, I live in Charleston, South Carolina. Now, I have been living here in Charleston since 1985, but mm-hmm. I've been living in the United States since 1975, so I've been here for quite a long time.
Oh, wow. So this is home for you.
Yes.
Anyways. Okay, and Timothy, what about you?
I'm 53, and I'm white. And I was born in Michigan.
Live in Indiana and Phoenix.
Yeah, Indiana and Phoenix. I met my wife in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, okay. All right, awesome. So what we're going to be highlighting today, you're going to share with us the intimacies of dating interracially and being married. And as Timothy said, he's white, and Lorna is black from Jamaica. Lorna, do you call yourself black, or what do you title yourself as?
What was that, Levanna? I didn't hear you.
I was asking Lorna, how does she title herself? Does she check black in the checkbox, or do you say Jamaican only? How do you classify yourself, Lorna?
I say black. Usually, they don't give you that choice to specify if you're from the Caribbean, but if there is a choice to specify that, I will say I'm from the Caribbean. Okay. But I consider myself black.
Okay. All right. First, I wanted to talk about how the two of you met. Tim, can you tell us what was it about Lorna that caught your eye?
Well, we went to college together, and, you know, I had a pretty full load, and so did she, and we were taking some of the same classes, and I used to sleep in class, and Lorna was always late, so the professor would bang on the board and stop everybody and wake everybody up to let them know she's late.
Wow.
Well, Lorna, you know, I was 18 then.
Uh-huh.
And Lorna used to come in these tight, black, skin-tight pants.
Oh, my.
That caught my eye.
Oh, wow. Tim, would you consider her a brick house at that time?
Well, I don't know. You know, I never looked at a black woman before.
Oh.
And when I saw some of that, I knew what I wanted.
Oh, my Lord. Okay. And Lorna, what about Timothy that caught your attention?
Well,
be honest.
I looked at Timothy quite differently, Lavana, to be quite honest with you. I did not look at him in any sexual way or any way to be on an intimate level. I mean, we would talk, and he was, you know, very friendly, and we would talk, and it just kind of grew from there. Little did I know he had an ulterior motive.
Oh, yeah, sounds like it. Wow. But, you know, men do love eye candy, and I think he met eye candy that day. Oh, yeah. Now, how long have the two of you been married?
Oh, my God.
31, 32. She probably know more the date than I would.
Oh, okay. So about 32 years?
This is 32.
Okay. All righty. And do you all have any children?
Yeah. We have three kids all together. Two. I had one before, and then Timothy and I have two together naturally. So.
Okay. All righty. Now, let's go back to when you first met, when you were dating. Tim, did you have any obstacles? Did you come in contact with anyone that degraded you or demeaned you or decided to break off your friendship because you were dating a black woman?
You know, people are people, and people say mean things, and, you know, I don't hang around people like that. So if they did, then they really weren't my friend to start
right.
with.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I really had that trouble as far as friends. At that time in my life, I was working on a career, and to be honest, I worked all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lorna, what about you? Do you have any issues while you were dating from your friends?
No, I didn't have any issues with friends. That wasn't a concern. We had issues in other ways, but not with friends.
Oh,
Timothy had issues with his family.
Say again.
You know, she was saying I had issues with my family, but before we go any farther, I do want you to know that when we met, she was 20. She was older than I was, and I lied to her so she would go out with me.
Wow. So who's the oldest?
And she only found out how old I was by accident when I had a motorcycle accident, and she was reading my chart in the hospital.
Oh, wow. So Timothy, who's the oldest?
Who do you think? She
I don't
is.
Know.
She is.
Okay, all right. So what's the age difference?
8 years.
Oh, wow, really? I would have never known that. I would have never guessed that. That's amazing. That's beautiful. So how old did you tell her that you were?
I think I told her I was 24 or 26. And
okay.
Then her neighbor friend thought that I looked awful young to be that age, and so they confronted me again.
Uh-huh.
So then I dropped it down a little bit, you know, just so I could still go out with her.
Oh, wow.
And then by the time she found out, I already had her.
Wow. So age was nothing but a number, huh?
That's what I said.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that you did not have any issues with your friends. So tell me, what obstacles did you come in contact with regarding your family?
Well, you know, my I didn't tell my family that she was black because to me it really wasn't an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out only one time because she had a child when I met her. And I was the babysitter. I was babysitting her child while she worked and stuff. And when one day I had to do something, and I asked my mother if she would watch her son. And, of course, her mother was there, too. And they come from the old country, and, you know, they believe a certain way.
Right.
And I didn't really realize that because no one in our family had ever dated a black before. I didn't think it was that big a deal, so I didn't tell her. And you should have seen her face when I dropped her son off. her son is very dark, very, very dark.
So what is your mom thought you lost your mind?
What's that?
Your mom thought you lost your mind or you had the wrong child?
Let me tell you what, they were in shock, and they were like, why didn't I tell them? Because they knew of her, because they knew her name, because I'd say, you know, Lorna.
Okay.
But, so anyway, so my mother claims that she liked Lorna, but I'm not sure, really, at the time. I think she grew on her, but my mother's mother went home and told her grandfather, and I was disowned from the family. I couldn't talk to my grandma. She couldn't talk to me. I couldn't go to their house. They wouldn't even talk to me.
Oh, my goodness.
Then I went to my mother's sister's house up near Chicago, and she treated me fine. I went to her brother's house, and I sat there in their living room, and they didn't have one word to say to me while I was there.
Wow. But, Timothy, tell me, how did that make you feel?
You know, it was pretty uncomfortable. You know, relatives that you hadn't seen in a long time, and they just didn't even talk to me. It's almost like I wasn't even welcome in their home.
Wow. Did it cause any sadness? I mean, you said you were uncomfortable, but, I mean, were you sad, disappointed?
You know, I don't think any of that, because I don't let stuff like that bother me.
Okay.
I thought it was a shame, and, you know, I didn't stay long. I left. I went over to my mother's sister's house. I stayed with them. Everything was fine. So, I mean, and actually I have never talked to them since that day.
Wow. That's amazing. Okay, well, everyone, we're going to take a break in one moment, but I want to let everyone know that we are talking with Lorna and Timothy Beck. They are from Charleston, South Carolina, and they're giving us a little intimate information about their interracial relationship and their marriage. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back to talk about how did they raise the children. Be right back, everybody. And I am Lee Vanna Forrest, your host for this evening. We have Lorna and Timothy Beck from Charleston, South Carolina, and they are giving us the intimacies of their interracial relationship. Lorna and Tim, are you still there?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, Timothy, you were telling us some of the obstacles you faced with your family. Why don't you share with us, what was it like for you and Lorna to raise your children?
You know, Lorna and I met in Phoenix, and then we moved away. So we really never saw my parents, really, after that.
Okay.
We moved several different states, and then we ended up here in Charleston. And, you know, I don't have time for all that drama.
I understand.
So as far as I was concerned, it can just stay there. You know, eventually over time, they end up coming around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, only because, like, when my grandma was dying, you know, she was forbidden to see us and the children.
Uh-huh.
And so she asked her husband, her last dying wish, if she could see the children. And so
yeah.
I took my children to see her before she died.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what it took, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and I'm
you know, my father's side is fine. My father's side doesn't have a problem with it. They're all pretty open.
What did you say? No, I didn't hear.
Oh, she says you ask how we raise the kids.
Oh, okay. So did the children have any issues in school?
You know, I worked a lot. I know of some issues. Our daughter is very bright. And, you know,
and
the black girls used...
And beautiful.
The black girls used to beat up on her because they would get lower grades and she would get very high grades and it would throw the curve way off.
Wow.
And make them fail. Yeah.
And pull her hair, because, you know, she has very long hair.
Yeah, she does.
Pull her hair and tell her that it's not real.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how long did she experience that bullying?
You know, I know she did 1 year at middle school. So she had problems during all of that period. But then she switched to a, an advanced school. What's the word? It's like a magnet school. And
okay.
So when she went to that school, it was different.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're all gifted kids, and they didn't...
Yeah, it was a gifted school, so... So then she just fit in. In fact, I remember one of her friends, one day, I don't remember what the scenario was, but I described her as black, and he looked at me, and he was in shock, and he said, "Oh, I didn't know she was black." And I thought that was so funny. Because, of course, she's very fair. And, and you know, kids are just sometimes so innocent, really and truly.
Yeah.
You get hung up on the things that adults get hung up on.
Right. You know, Lorna, what I thought was interesting, you said that when she changed over to a magnet school, the bullying stopped.
Yes.
So do you find that interesting that the kids that were more academically sound didn't look at color the same way as those who were at regular public schools?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You know, because I think intelligence has a lot to do also.
Exactly.
With the way we look at other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, what was interesting, I was reviewing CNN, had a show with Soledad O'Brien and Anderson Cooper, and they interviewed several sixth grade students. And they were talking to the students about dating outside of their race. And they asked the children, how would your parents feel if you brought home a white girlfriend or a black girlfriend or vice versa? And one little boy said that his parents would not like it. And later on, the parents, of course, got to view the interview, and they were shocked at the children's responses to dating outside of their race. And so what the interview found that the racial divide is more generational. You know, it's what's being taught in the home. So I thought that was a very, very, very interesting interview. You ought to check it out sometime.
That is correct. That type of stuff is taught from parents. Children don't grow up knowing about all that stuff. They learn right. all of that stuff at home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And of course, we don't teach that. You know, I gave my children an analogy one time because, you know, the oldest son is extremely dark, and our daughter and son are very light complexion.
Uh-huh.
And they don't understand why they're so different.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, God, if you were driving in the country, and I said, you see that cow, there's a black cow, there's a white cow, there's a brown cow with spots, there's, you know, all these different cows. God makes so many different colors, but we're all the same.
Right. Yeah, that's great. And it was interesting. My daughter is very, very light-skinned, and I'm very, very dark. And when she was born, she looked like a Caucasian child. And it was funny because my family went to look for her in the nursery and came back and said, "Where's your baby?" You know, expecting to see a brown baby. And so for a long time, everyone thought that her father was white. So I thought it was very, so it was funny to me sometimes. It was funny. But it's interesting how we pay attention to color so much. And I know,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. Well, I was just going to share with you that Michelle was born in Montana.
Uh-huh.
And there was this incident where I was breastfeeding Michelle, so I had her in the room, and the nurse came in and took her away.
Oh! And, you're and kidding!
Yes, and said, "I had the wrong baby."
Oh. Oh my gosh, Lorna.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, of course, she went back to the nursery. There's no other baby. I mean, because, of course, she was extreme. She was literally white. You know, they say people aren't white. Well, she was white. She was very, very white. She
uh-huh,
was born
uh-huh.
with blue eyes. And the nurse was convinced that she was my baby. She took her away, and she had to bring her back.
Wow, that's amazing. Amazing. Okay, let's see. So I know Tim said he went through the analogy with how God made animals with different colors, and we're all the same. How are your children coping now as adults? And are they dating... outside of, well, are they dating a white or blacks, or how are your kids dating? What nationality or culture?
Well, I believe that my son has only dated white girls. I've tried fixing him up with some nice black girls.
And why is that, Tim?
You know, there's nice black girls too, you know.
Yes, I agree. You married one. What about your daughter?
You know, I think she's had white boyfriends. Her fiance was white.
First boyfriend was black. Even though I don't know if that counts much because they were so young. I don't even think they went out, but they called each other boyfriends. But
yeah, they were going steady. Okay,
you know, the only thing that I want is somebody that is going to treat my daughter well.
Exactly.
And she's had several boyfriends, and most of them don't make it past meeting me.
Oh, wow. Well, that's great. You know, you're setting standards, and she's setting standards, and that's important. Well, tell me, what about work? Have the two of you experienced any issues on the job?
No, I don't think. Yeah, let me tell you, Levana. Before Timothy and I got married, he had a boss. The company he worked for, they were prejudiced.
No, I don't.
Okay, well, then if it wasn't them, it was you.
That's right. It was me.
Okay.
I, I didn't feel that having a black wife, I would be able to advance. And so I really didn't want to make that known because I thought it would be a hindrance in my career.
Okay, that's interesting. But Lorna, what were you going to say?
Well, but, you know, I don't know the specifics because I'm only going by what he told me. And
okay.
Basically, he told me that he was afraid that they were going to not promote him because of my color. So I thought naturally it was the company, but I guess he was young and insecure, so...
Yeah, I was going to ask. So, Tim, what was the fear? Did you hear something, or was there an indifference?
You know, we were in an area, you know, we had moved to Billings, Montana. And let me tell you what, there ain't hardly any blacks up there.
Okay.
I just felt that I wouldn't, you know, that was just my feeling.
But in fact, it
wasn't true. It's just I thought that.
So how did you discover that it wasn't true?
Well, we married, and they promoted me.
Oh, wow. That's great.
So
that was your own insecurities from your previous employers?
No, I don't know. It's just something I felt, and I don't know why. I just thought that, and that's why I wasn't really that gung-ho on, you know, letting people know that we were married.
Okay. All right, interesting. Okay, guys, we are going to take another break. We'll be right back with Conversations from a Man's Perspective with Lorna and Timothy Beck. Okay, we are back with Conversations from a Man's Perspective. I am Levanna Forrest, your host. We have Lorna and Timothy Beck. Guys, how are you doing so far?
Fine.
Lorna, I hope you don't mind me calling you a guy. I mean it in love.
Oh, actually, I call guys and girls guys. So.
Okay, so we're on the same page.
Yeah, that's a California slang.
Oh, is it? Okay, all righty. Okay, now I would like now to ask you a little bit about other interracial couples. Why do you think it's still an issue, though, at this day and age? Why do you think we still look at it with a second glance? What are your thoughts on that, Timothy?
Well, in as much as we would like to think it doesn't exist, racism still exists.
It still exists.
Yes, it does.
Do you think we'll ever overcome that?
I know not in my lifetime, and I doubt in my children's lifetime. I mean, you may have a black president, but, you know, people still hate out there. And they secretly, you know, they secretly hate and... You know, it's like I told you, it's the parents that are teaching the children. And as long as the parents are teaching them, it's never going to end.
Yeah, and you're right. Yeah, I totally agree.
You know, no. I mean, I have black people say, you know, what I did to them. I didn't do anything to them. That happened how many years ago?
It's on both sides, you know.
Uh-huh.
There are black people who hate white people just as much as white people hate black people.
Yes. Yeah. It was interesting, Lorna, because a friend of mine, she's a Christian, and she has a Christian home, and she told her son not to bring home a white girlfriend. And I was very surprised that she would say that. You know, being a Christian. And I said, why would you tell your son that? She said, because I've worked hard, so he should bring home a black girlfriend. So what do you say about that double standard? Is that hypocrisy, What do you say about households, families that would do that to the children? They teach God on one hand, but yet teach divide on the other.
But, Levana, that goes back to the very same slavery. People preached Christianity and did all those things to the slaves.
Right.
So it's not really that foreign. It's something that has been going on for a long time. People do all these terrible things in the name of God.
Yeah.
Which is so really unlike
mm-hmm.
God, but yet they use his name.
They use
and
his
do
name.
Terrible things to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, but that really surprised me, to be honest. I was sort of speechless when I heard her say that.
But think about it. You know, in the South, where they used to have two different churches.
Yes.
They were all Methodists, they were all Catholics, they were all Anglicans, they were all whatever, but mm-hmm. they had two different churches.
Right.
And when they got to the point where even if they had one church, they didn't sit together.
Exactly.
So, and they were, this is church now, they're worshiping God, so.
Mm-hmm. And everyone's going to heaven, huh? With this divide.
Yep. Yep.
Wow, and it's still amazing. Do you and Timothy pray with your children, Lorna? Or did you when they were growing up?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what denomination are you and Timothy?
I'm Catholic, and she's Methodist. And as far as I was concerned, when the kids were being raised, she could raise them however, what religion she wanted to raise them in.
Okay. So does that mean the two of you attend two different churches?
No. We did go to Catholic church for a while. You know, my son did go to Bishop England.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we go to Methodist. We're going to Methodist now, and we've been to Methodist, and we went to Catholic. You know, sometimes I'm not wild about the minister at the time.
Uh-huh.
And we kind of change.
Okay. So how did the congregation greet you at those churches?
You know, like you said before, people allege they're Christians. But so that even people in church, you know, sometimes it's just a hard way to go.
Right.
You know, even in church.
Wow. Well, Timothy, can you give us, you and Lorna, can you share any kind of tip or advice for couples, young interracial couples, or couples who've been together for a very long time? Can you share any advice for how the two of you kept your marriage together?
You know, I think you shouldn't let what people say bother you. You know, because people will always try and break you up.
Right.
And, you know, the arguing and the fighting you see people do, you know, throwing pots and pans and carrying on, you know, we really don't fight that much. You know, I think the last time we really had a big fight,
uh-huh.
We were in Montana, and she made me so mad. When I tell you I was going to beat her,
Tim.
She ran from me, and I chased her. She ran back in the house and locked me out. And I was so angry, I kicked and busted the whole door and everything in, and then she was on the inside laughing that I busted the door down.
I mean, do I detect anger management issues here, Timothy?
Well, in my younger days, I was probably more volatile than I am now, but it was kind of funny, and, you know, we think about it from time to time, and it was pretty stupid.
Wow.
But she doesn't like to argue. The minute I start raising my voice and carrying on,
she won't say a word because, you know, it takes two to argue.
It does. Yes, it does.
And if one won't argue, there's no argument.
Right.
And, you know, all I can say is, you know, to respect one another and work as a team, because each person has good ideas.
And keep the streets out of the marriage as well, it sounds like.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, Tim, has ever been a time when you had to defend Lorna, or Lorna, was there ever a time you had to defend your husband?
You know, back when we were younger, you know, times do change a little. But, you know, I remember we went to this restaurant at the Sheraton Hotel.
Uh-huh.
And the place was empty. And they sat us right next to the kitchen door.
Oh, wow. I do not like sitting next to the kitchen.
And, you know, that really made me angry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a few scuffles when I was younger. You know, people saying things. And, you know, most of the time I can take it. But sometimes, you know, it's a little much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that fighting is the answer. It's more an education because, you know, people that are starting that, I mean, it's more about education and what people are.
Right.
And, you know, the older we are, the more educated we are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it really had defend her in the last, I don't know, 10 or so years.
Mm-hmm. Lorna, what about you?
You know, I can't remember. I don't recall any specific incident of defending Timothy, but I know I have had to you know, people tend to generalize a lot.
Uh-huh.
And you know, there are times when I've had to make some clarification about when it comes to race.
Uh-huh.
So you know, it's so easy to talk about things that happened in the past and to make judgment, but things are different now. I tell you what, though, is that there are times when I've had to defend the way black people think and act.
Wow, really?
Yes, especially American blacks.
Uh-huh.
Because in as much as he thinks he's open, he sometimes does not understand why people do what they do, why they feel the way they feel or react the way they react.
Uh-huh.
But it's because of experience.
Right.
It's like you would never understand racial profiling and why people have to do certain things because he's not in that situation.
Exactly.
And until you're caught in those situations or you become more exposed,
mm-hmm.
Then you don't fully understand. You are aghast at why people do what they do, but that's
right.
How you don't understand what's behind it. So
exactly.
There are times when I've had to defend the way people act and think because he doesn't quite get it.
Yeah, yeah. You have to get to the root of the problem. You know,
yeah.
Just Lorna, I was talking to one of my bosses and. You know, I had a discrimination case, and the stress of that wore me down physically and mentally. And he sort of looked at me, you know, sort of oddly, and I said, "You have no idea what that feels like, do you?" And he said, "No."
Exactly.
So, yeah, it is a very demeaning feeling, especially when you feel like you there's nothing much you can do about it.
Yep.
If you feel like your back is up against the wall, it's very uncomfortable, confining, degrading feeling.
Yep.
And if that is constant in your life, then when you look at anyone of that color, even though that person is not the individual that treated you that way, if you look at someone with that color, it brings back the memory, and I think that brings back the action of how you react to that particular individual.
Yeah.
And I was my last guest, he was sharing with me a story. He said that he and his brother went into a McDonald's, and he told his brother to sit back and watch the cashier. Well, the cashier served a white gentleman, and she was very pleasant. And then when his brother went to the cashier to make an order, her face changed, her body language changed, and she was not very kind. So it sounds like to me, either individually she's been mistreated by black men, but he seemed to think that most black women are that way. What do you think about that, Timothy? Coming from your land, have you seen that?
I listened to that one, and it's on the other side too, because the black employees will look out for black people and not white customers, because I've been on that scenario end of it. But as far as that guy's particular incident and the way he thought, a lot of black women raise children. Black men get all these girls pregnant, and then you see a lot of them are single mothers.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it's more so than white. I mean, white guys do it too, but I think it might be a little more to that side. That's my opinion. But,
there are more single women, African-American women with children.
And, and they're angry because there's no child support. They don't, they're not being taken care of. And it's very difficult, it's very difficult to raise children.
Exactly.
Well, all that is speculation as to why. We all, because we don't know, we weren't there.
Right.
And my speculation is I would question also, even though her job as an employee is to smile and greet every customer the same,
exactly.
But I also would have to wonder, what was his demeanor when it was his turn?
When he approached her. Very good question.
When he approached her.
Right. I have to do that myself, Lorna.
Well, he said he was nice, and he just stood there and waited for her to say something, and she didn't say anything.
But here again, that was from his perspective. So
right. If
you and I were on the outside looking in, what would we have seen?
Yeah, we don't know.
Exactly. Okay, I'm going to ask Tim to give all the single ladies one tip of advice. If we are out here preparing ourselves for our husband, what advice can you give the single ladies from what you've seen in your lifetime?
Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, wow.
Because you do try to give me advice, Tim, and I'm 52.
Well, I'm trying to hook you up with a nice white guy.
Yeah. Oh, a nice white guy. Okay.
We've known several black women. They meet a nice white guy in a white church.
Uh huh.
So you're telling the single ladies to go to a white church and look for a white husband?
Okay. There are a lot of white men that secretly like black women.
Yes, I've experienced it.
And, they won't come out and say it. Now, they'll tell me because they know my wife is black. But they don't come right out and say it, in public.
And isn't that awful? That's really sad, because we're not living as our full potential.
You know, once you realize people are people, you know, Lorna has been by my side all these years, and where a lot of women wouldn't be by their husband's side.
Right.
You know, when I lost my job and I decided to start my own business, she was beside me and paid the bills because she knew how hard I worked, and eventually it would pay off.
Right.
Most women, they would not put up with the husband starting a business with no income coming in, mm-hmm. and they were having to pull the whole load. Mm-hmm. How many women do you think would do that for 3 to 5 years while their husband worked like a dog to make a business successful?
Wow. That is beautiful. Lorna, I curtsy to you. And you're right. I hear a lot of men say that their wives or girlfriends will not support them without a steady paycheck. You know, and I'm a lot like Lorna. If we're in love and I believe in you, then I'm by your side. That's
but, you
awesome.
Know, she, you know, if you can see the other person is a hard worker and he's motivated,
yes.
and
yes.
he's out there working, then you know eventually he will be successful.
Exactly.
But a lot of women, they don't even care. They want that steady paycheck coming in.
Right. And that just means that women like Lorna stands by her vow. It's very, very important.
Yep.
Wow, Lorna, that's awesome. Before we round off, I would like to share with everyone that Lorna is the founder of the Charleston Caribbean Festival. So before we go off the air, I would like for Lorna to tell us where, when, and how about her Charleston Caribbean Festival. Lorna?
Well, Charleston CariFest is a Caribbean carnival held in June because June is Caribbean American Heritage Month. And this year, it will be 4 days, 6 events over 4 days, starting the 20th of June. We'll have a symposium and a meet and greet at the Avery Research Center. Each year we celebrate a different country. This year it's Trinidad and Tobago. So the ambassador and the consulate general will be here in Charleston celebrating with us.
Uh-huh.
Then on the Friday night we have a masquerade fete, which is June 21. Then the Saturday we actually have a street parade through the streets of Charleston. And then the festival in the park. And then we'll have a white party afterwards. And the next day, we have a carriage ride tour through Charleston. So we invite anybody to come through Charleston and celebrate with us. We do have a website. It's www.charlestoncarifest. And this is like an abbreviation for Caribbean and Festival. There's no B. It's just carifest.com. And anybody would like to send us an email, it's info@charlestoncarifest.com. We'd be happy to answer any questions and provide any further information. So once again, Charleston CariFest is in its 8th year. It will be held June 20th to the 24th, or the 23rd rather, the 23rd. And we invite everybody to come celebrate Caribbean style.
Okay, and what is your Facebook page, Lorna?
Facebook is Charleston CariFest also. So everything with us is Charleston CariFest. Charleston CariFest. We have 2 different Facebook pages. One is Charleston CariFest. One is Charleston CariFest Caribbean Carnival. But we welcome everybody to come and check us out, like us on Facebook.
Okay, awesome. Everyone, if you are in the area in Charleston, South Carolina, my hometown, please join us at the Charleston CariFest. We have been having a conversation with Lorna and Timothy Beck from A Man's Perspective on Interracial Relationships. Lorna and Timothy, we thank you very much. And I am Lee Vanna Forrest, your host. Have a good night, everyone.